Can we read in the prophet Amos, chapter 4, page 1101. Amos 4, in the middle of verse 12. Prepare to meet thy God. 4 weeks ago, past Friday, a fit middle-aged woman was cycling home in St. Andrews in the late afternoon. A man stepped off the pavement to avoid a wheelie bin, and she collided with him and fell off her bike and was injured. She was rushed to Ninewells Hospital and placed on a life support machine. There was to be no recovery. While she lay there, her niece and nephew read Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, yet will I fear no evil. Thou art with me. Thou art with me. Thy staff and thy rod, they comfort me. And the machine was switched off. Heather Ross was prepared. She knew the shepherd of Psalm 23. Now the question is, do you? That's the question tonight. You can answer that. I can't answer it for you. If death was to come so suddenly and without warning to you, are you prepared? The Bible has a lot to say about death. It comes in the second chapter of Genesis. And it comes in the second last chapter of Revelation. A lot to say about it. It speaks about it in terms of the way that seems right unto a man. The end thereof, the ways of death. Persons think there are various ways to reach God. There are various ways to merit God's favour by doing good works. Seems right. Seems right. But it ends in death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. If it was possible for you not to be a sinner, if you'd never sinned, then you wouldn't die. But it's not possible, because the scripture says that all have sinned. So I can address myself tonight to everyone here as a sinner, because that's what the Bible tells me. This is the word of God. This is the truth. If you want to get your thoughts adjusted, you go to the Bible. That's where you get light. It tells us that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after death, the judgment. So death is not the end. Because, my friend, you have a never-dying soul, and you need saved. You need Christ. Prepare to meet thy God. How would you stand tonight? You know, God knows about your lost condition. And the gospel is about what he has prepared. That's what it's about. It's about a Saviour who has done everything that you might receive the blessing tonight. What must I do that I may be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's the gospel. There is no other advice or help can be given to you tonight. Convicted. Are you convicted that you're a sinner and that you need a Saviour? The gospel would bring that conviction to you. The law could convict you as well, of course. The law could tell you that you were a sinner, but it couldn't help you about finding a Saviour. God places a Saviour within your reach tonight. Isn't that marvellous? Do you know the shepherd of Psalm 23? You know, death will overtake us. You see, I didn't come here to be depressed. Well, that's true. But you have to face reality. At some point in your life, you'll have to face your mortality. You have to face it. Now, when you're young, you don't think about it. Look, you've your life ahead of you. Plenty of time. Or do you? Do you have plenty of time? It's urgent that tonight you come to Christ. Urgent. Death comes to some very young, and to others very much later. But everybody here knows the date of their birth. Katrina will be 9 tomorrow if the Lord tarries. She knows the date of her birth, but not one person in this room knows the date of her death. I say it comes without warning. It doesn't actually come without warning, because the warnings are in Scripture. God always warns people what he's going to do. And the Lord says, if you die in your sin, you'll be raised in your sin. The words of the Lord Jesus himself. Is that what God wants for you? Not a bit of it. He wants to save you. And he's provided a Savior in Jesus, who bore our sins in his body on the tree. That's why Jesus came. He came to save a lost universe. Lost. You know, there was no way back for Adam. No way back. He fell into sin, and he couldn't recover himself. And there's no way back for you as a sinner by your own efforts. Maybe you want to do something just to merit God's favour, like Naaman, you know. If only I could do something. You know, is there not a better way? Is it too simple for you to just obey the word in the glad tidings? To come to Christ in repentance? Is it too simple? If the prophet had bidden you do some great thing, would you not have done it? Naaman was a great man. And God had used him. Great in exploits. But he had a condition that was incurable. That would have meant that he would have to leave his family and go and live in an exile. And there was nothing he could do about it. Thank God for the little maid who brought the glad tidings. You know, you could bring the glad tidings tonight. No matter how young you are. Oh, that my Lord were before the prophet who's in Samaria. Well, Naaman was a big man in his own eyes. Are there not the rivers of Syria, Damascus, better than the Jordan? Is there not another way that would bring glory to me? Christ for my soul has suffered. Yes, Christ has done it all. There's nothing left to be done, my friend. Nothing. All you can do is accept what he has done. Naaman was appealed to in the by his servants. Are you going to be appealed to in the glad tidings tonight? Think of God appealing in the glad tidings. Think of the voice of Jesus tonight, interested in you personally, wanting to save you. come to me, come to me. A person's in the lake of fire remembering these words. Remember that they had an opportunity. That's something else, you know, that's prepared. Prepared for the devil and his angels. But man will find himself there as refusing Christ. You'll not be judged tonight because you belong to a fallen race. That's the truth. But you're not judged on that. You are responsible for your own sins before God. Sin is against God. God knows that. But you know, he's pointing to the Savior. He's pointing to the way of salvation. Could you have any doubt in your mind that God loves you? So loved. So loved. He gave his only begotten Son. That's the most marvellous gift that's ever been given. But what's the good of a gift if you won't receive it? There's the giving and there's receiving. And you have to receive Christ into your heart to get the blessing. Naaman plunged himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh became clean. Simple. Simple. Way of blessing is the way of obedience. Obedience to the word. Be reconciled to God. How can you be reconciled to God? Through putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He made peace by the blood of his cross. What shall I do? The rich farmer. What shall I do? Plan my life ahead and leave God out. How many persons are doing that tonight? You can believe in that if you like. It's not for me. As Marilyn Monroe said to Billy Graham, I don't need your Jesus. 3 weeks later, she was dead. She needed Jesus. We all need Jesus. Fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and who shall be what thou hast prepared? Maybe you're about to finish school. Maybe you're going to university or college. Maybe you don't yet have a job. But make sure, before you do any of that, that you have a living link with Jesus. That's what's important. Life committed to Christ is a fulfilling life. It's a rewarding life. It's the only way of blessing. Who shall be what thou hast prepared? Satan has men captivated by material things to keep them away from Christ. Thank God there's a power that's greater than that of Satan. He came to undo the works of the devil. And do you know how that was demonstrated in Luke? Right at the start of the Lord's public ministry, he was taken into the desert and Satan attacked him. But what was demonstrated there was that Satan had no point of attack, no point of entry to my Saviour. Way of a serpent upon a rock. There was no way access. Perfection of the manhood of Christ. A man different from every other man. Do you ever tire of reading the Gospels? Do you ever tire of reading about Jesus. What does he mean to you? That life, which was so delightful to heaven, your life has not been delightful to heaven. There are certain aspects of men's lives that God found delight in. Certain things that God took account of. But you know, he looked at the life of Christ and he found what he'd never found in any other man. And that was perfection. That's what he found. He wasn't a superman. He was a perfect man. That's what he was. But he was a dependent man. So he moves here. But he was going to Calvary. Right from the start, he was going to Calvary's cross. No wonder it speaks of him as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He could release persons from their burden of sin, you know, but he carried these sins all the way to Calvary. No act of power could e'er atone. No wonder working words could from the brightness of the throne make love's sweet voice be heard. If he could have taken away your sin by a word of his power, would he not have done it? No, God required that a sacrifice be made for sin. Jesus came, committed to the fulfillment of the will of God, and nothing could turn them aside. You ever thank the Lord? For the love that kept him on the path. Can it compass such a love? Can it compass a love that caused my Saviour to leave the glory, leave that scene of bliss, and come into a world of sin? What did it mean for him to do that? A world that his hands had made, but a world affected in every way by the incoming of sin. What did it take to bring him here? Love for you and love for me. And then it's moving among men, facing the opposition on a daily basis. It tempts by Satan to turn him aside, using a Peter even, to turn him aside. Kept on the pathway to the cross. Man's malice unavailing. Move thy heart to haste, demonstrating how God felt about his creature. That's what he was doing, you know. He brought the love of God to man. That's what he did. He expressed it in his life here, but particularly in his death. Think of what men did. I was reading it the other morning. Face marred more than any man. It's affecting to read the sufferings of Christ. It's affecting to my heart that the Father allowed it. But then onwards to the cross, to suffer there the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Did Jesus take your liability? Did he bear your guilt? Are your sins borne away and washed in the blood of Jesus? You know the answer to that question. I don't. I can say that he died for me. That's why I'm standing here. Because I know my Saviour. I know the love that he had for me that never failed. Never failed. Though it was tested in the most severe way. 3 hours of darkness we shall never penetrate. Never. God closed the scene in darkness. We're not allowed to look on the vicarious sufferings of Christ when the whole matter of sin and sins was gone into. The sins that you and I had committed were borne by Jesus, who offered himself without spot to God. The awfulness of what it meant for one who was sinless to bear the judgment that was due to you and I. That's what Jesus did. He did it for you. How can you avail yourself of such blessing? He made provision for everybody. The whole matter of sin and sins were gone into. And the sins of the universe are covered. If persons will accept what Christ has done. But your sins are not covered if you don't accept him as your Saviour. So it's wide in its provision but limited in its application. Because you have to come by way of repentance and accept Christ for yourself. Is it nothing to you, O ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be sorrow like unto my sorrow. Whom Jehovah has afflicted in the day of his fierce anger. Storm burst on the head of Jesus. It was due to you and I. What a saviour, Jesus says. He knew what lay ahead of him. It shows in the garden. He knew full well what lay ahead of him. But he wasn't turned aside. Not my will, but thine be done. I couldn't have stood here tonight to tell you about such a saviour if anything had turned him aside. No. The judgment was exhausted. It is finished. There was nothing left to be done. You know, that's what gives peace in the heart tonight. In certain knowledge that everything that needed to be done was done by Jesus. Christ for my soul has suffered. Yes, Christ has done it all. I commend my Saviour to you, though. He went into death. He took on that penalty as bearing your sins in his body in the tree. He then went into death because death is the penalty for sin. And then into the grave. The man that offended put out of sight forever. Think of the place that Jesus took. Weeds wrapped upon my head. The bars of the earth closed upon me forever. What did it mean for the blessed God? You know, when Jacob said to Joseph, I had not thought to see your face. I speak carefully. Think of the blessed God when Christ was in death. What did it mean? When Christ was in death, everything was in death. And had not thought to see thy face. This salvation has cost an immense price. Don't trivialize sin. Don't make light of what God is offering you in the glad tidings tonight. The blood of Jesus. That's what it cost. Who could put a value on the blood of Jesus? No longer in death impossible that death could hold him, because he was sinless. He went there for you and I, but he comes out triumphant and broken his power forever. You know, no person will remain in death eternally. As the Lord said, if you die in your sins, you'll be raised in your sins. Heather Ross was due to us on the Lord's Day for our lunch. Her seat was empty. She was with Christ. What about you? What about you? Well, the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. The things that God has prepared hasn't entered into the eye have not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man. What the inheritance is, as God has revealed to us now by the Spirit. If you accept Christ as your Saviour, not only do you receive forgiveness of sins and remission, but you receive an inheritance among those sanctified by faith in Christ. And you receive the Holy Spirit, who opens up the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. We're about to be ushered in to a wonderful scene. You know, those have gone on ahead, those who have trusted Christ have gone on ahead. What blessing, special honour to be with Christ. We, the living who remain, be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Will you be there? Just answer the question to yourself. Will you hear it? Will your name be called? When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. You can have that certainty in your heart tonight. You can know the blessedness of Jesus as your Saviour. You can have peace in your heart and knowing that He knows everything about you. Every sin that you've committed, He knows. And He bore them all in His body on the tree. You can go free tonight. Free from guilt. Free from burden. Know what it is to be forgiven. The priest could never forgive you, you know. The priest had no basis whatever for dispensing forgiveness. Christ can forgive because He Himself took on the liability and discharged it. Well, that's all I've got to say. You remember the story, I'm sure, of the two men who read Psalm 23 in some kind of a competition. And the first man got up and he read it beautifully from end to end. Immaculate. And everybody was impressed. And the second man, an older man, got up. And he read the psalm. And there wasn't a dry eye in the place. And the first man got up and conceded defeat. And said, I know the psalm. My friend knows the shepherd. Do you know the shepherd? Prepare to meet thy God. For His name's sake.